This morning, we are going to do a little bit something different than what we typically do. If you've been around Fellowship for any length of time, you know that we typically walk through books of the Bible. This morning and next week, and possibly even the following week after that, depending on how far we get, we're going to talk about the purpose of Fellowship Bible Church. God has tremendously blessed us in the last 6 months, bringing more people into our presence and into our time on Sunday mornings and involved in our ministries. And so I thought it was important for us to take a break from the study of the book of Romans and just go through the scriptures a little bit and talk about our purpose as a local assembly, as an assembly of believers that meets together, that is joined together, that is covenanted together to be Fellowship Bible Church. And so you need to have your fingers ready. We're going to be going through quite a bit of scriptures this morning. But again, this is not typically what we do. If this is your first time with us, we typically walk through books of the Bible. But this morning, I wanted to begin a mini-series on the purpose of Fellowship Bible Church. And from time to time, it is good for us to be reminded of why we are here and what God is seeking to do with this local assembly. That is, again, what we'll discuss over the next 2 weeks or possibly three. You probably noticed that I pray a fairly structured pastoral prayer at the beginning of our service that speaks of us exalting the Lord, that speaks of edifying and equipping the saints or believers, and evangelizing the lost. I do that to keep the purpose of our local assembly ever before us. So we're going to study those reasons again over the next few weeks. Would you join me in prayer once again before we dive in? Father, this morning as we continue to worship together, we thank you so much for your word, your holy, inspired, inerrant word. And we pray, Lord, that as we study it together this morning, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, who did inspire it, now illuminate our eyes to understanding it as well as applying its truths to our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who may not know you. I pray that today might be the day of salvation for them and that they would repent and believe in Christ's death and resurrection alone as the only means to be made right, to be reconciled, to be at peace with you. I pray that you would set me aside. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Westminster Shorter Catechism begins by asking this question: what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. I thought maybe I'd get a resounding response to that. To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Notice there is an aspect of glory to God and an aspect of enjoyment for us. And I think that we know in our heads that first part especially, but I think that second part sometimes eludes us in our life, that we're supposed to enjoy God, and we're supposed to do that forever. This sets things right in our mind, though, doesn't it? It reminds us of what we will see in the Scriptures and what we really see in all of Scriptures, that God is supreme and only He deserves worship, and that all else that we do in life is aimed at that goal, or should be aimed at that goal. You heard it this morning in our songs, and it should resonate in our lives. Of course, we know that we are not able to do this in and of ourselves. We must be redeemed. We must be bought back from the slavery of sin. We need to be brought from life to death in which we dwell in our unregenerate state. In other words, we need God to come and make us new in Christ in order for us to recognize that God is the one who needs to be glorified, and that is the only way in which we can actually enjoy God. If this then sets the course right, what then follows? If we know that our lives are supposed to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, what does it mean for our purpose, not only as individuals, but as a local assembly? In other words, if I am brought from death to life and I realize my purpose in life is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, how do I do this? And again, the question is, do I do that alone? And if you've been around here any length of time, you know that I often state we are saved as individuals. We are made new in Christ as individuals, but we are baptized into the body of Christ, and then we should join a local representation of that body. This is scriptural. We'll look at this this morning together and over the coming weeks. This is what we see, in fact, in the New Testament. So what follows then? What are we to do? Is it just about getting together on a Sunday morning because that's what we do as Christians? And we're going to see that over the next few weeks, we need to push the grid of our purpose statement, all that we do, that we would exalt God, that we would seek to edify Christians, believers, especially in this local assembly, that we would be equipped for the work of ministry, and that we might therefore scatter to do the same with one another throughout the week, and then scatter to evangelize the lost. And that's what we're going to be looking at in the scriptures together. So what are we about as Fellowship Bible Church? And what is the direction of our church according to the scriptures? And what are the practical ramifications upon us as a body as we look at these things? Well, if you happen to have your bulletin, you can turn that over and you can see there what we're going to look at. The first two today, possibly, maybe just the first one today, and then maybe the following week, and then maybe a week after that. We're going to look at four aspects of why we exist as a local assembly. Four aspects of why we exist as a local assembly. These are best summed up with a statement that you hear often. Fellowship Bible Church exists to exalt the triune God, edify and equip believers, and evangelize the lost. It seems so simple, and it seems like we should understand that this is what the local church, the local assembly, ought to be all about. But I want us to take some time, especially as we've had newer folks coming into our midst, to hear about why we believe that this is the purpose of the New Testament church and why we as a local assembly ought to follow these things. Number one is this: we seek to exalt. We seek, that's your blank there. We seek to exalt the name of the triune God by worshiping Him corporately and in the way we live our lives every day. That's what we want to be about. We want to exalt the name of the triune God by worshiping Him corporately and in the way we live our lives every day. This statement is meant to capture the idea that we are not just an organization that comes together. Jay talked earlier in his explanation of City Life as a para-church organization. He tried to make very clear that City Life is not a church. In fact, what they do in City Life is they encourage those students to be a part of a local assembly, and many of them are. But we, as we gather and are covenanted together and are under godly leadership, are what the Bible calls a local assembly. We're not just a group of people who gather together for a time on Sunday morning just to get together. We are to gather to worship corporately. If you have your Bibles, and I pray that you do, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, some have recently said that this is not about the local assembly, and I don't have time this morning to defend that it indeed is, but quickly, this is a letter, and actually first a sermon and then a letter to, guess what? A local assembly. So when we read these words and when we read the epistles, we need to understand that those are written to typically a local church. And so when these kind of things are said, we understand that that is the thrust of what is being said here. The author of Hebrews is saying, and let us, who's the us? The us is the church, not the church universal, but the church local. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is the day? It is the idea of the coming of judgment. Dear ones, we have had the luxury in the United States to maybe bounce from church to church, or maybe even have the luxury of not even attending a local assembly on Sundays. Oh, there's coming a time, dear ones, where if you identify with the name of Christ, you will be persecuted and you will need the local assembly in your life. You need that corporate worship. You need that corporate identity together. We're not to neglect the gathering together in that regard. Again, I told you we're going to be bouncing around quite a bit, so make a left-hand turn in your Bible back to the book of Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians chapter 3. So what do we do when we gather together? We're going to kind of bullet point some of these truths, and then I'll expand on them a bit as we go through our time. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Again, he's talking about the local assembly gathered together. What are we to do? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with in all wisdom. Now notice this, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. What is the church doing when they gather together? They're encouraging each other with truth, and they are singing truth with one another. We're to gather together, and we're to sing. We're to sing the truths that we speak to one another. We're to let the word of Christ dwell within us richly. Turn left hand again to Ephesians, to a parallel verse, Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 18, and Paul's addressing the local assembly here. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Let me just pause for a moment and draw a quick line for you, a parallel here between Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, Paul tells us in Colossians 3, it means to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. How do you know that you are filled with the Spirit? It is by the word of God. It is letting that dwell within you richly. How do you let that dwell within you richly? You study it, you understand it, you obey it. But what else are they doing here? Verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. We see the idea of gathering together to sing and to encourage one another with truth. We're to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy. It's a right-hand turn from Ephesians. 1 and then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 into the beginning of chapter 4. Paul writes again, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And then Paul says to Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate to themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We are to be in the community of believers. Again, he's writing this to a young pastor. We're to be sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. We are to give in worship. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. If you turn there, please. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. It's a left-hand turn from where you are. Paul, in addressing a local church, a local assembly, says this about giving. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, it is a decision that is made ahead of time in order to worship the Lord with our giving. So we gather to do these things. We gather to sit under the preaching of the Word of God, to encourage one another, to sing together, to give out of a heart of worship. But also, we are not to forget Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul comes to this turning point in his letter to the church at Rome, after giving a foundation of doctrine, and he says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, having in view the things that I have just talked about that display the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our lives are supposed to be worship services. So what does this look like for Fellowship Bible Church? As we gather together, as Steve mentioned this morning, church is not what we do alone. It is who we are. It's who we are. The word for church in the New Testament is a word that means a called out assembly. It was used of people who were called out and gathered together for a specific purpose. And that is the idea here when we talk about the church, the assembly. And we've become to understand the church as a building rather than, and you hear me reference many times the local assembly, because I wanted to get it in our mind that we gather as the church in a building that could be used for anything. But we as the church gather together here as a local called out assembly of people who claim the name of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to do the things that we're talking about this morning. So we understand the church in two senses, though, don't we? There is the universal church. There is that great body of believers throughout the world that are one in Christ, are united to Christ as those who are born again. But we have different representations of that, even in our city. We heard about St. Paul this morning and our brother Devereaux Hubbard, who's the pastor in that local assembly of believers and in a certain part of the city. And we exist in a certain part of the city, and other faithful Bible-believing assemblies meet in other parts of the city. And maybe there's some doctrinal differences, some secondary issue differences that separate us, and some differences in that way. But we're to gather as a local assembly. This is evidenced, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 4. Again, this is Paul speaking to a local assembly. He says, and he gave apostles, Ephesians 4:11, that is, Jesus gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it is built, it builds itself up in love. Now, is that talking about the universal church or the local church? Yes. That's the answer to that question. You cannot have pastors who are over the entire universal church as a whole. So you have these local representations of that. You know, that is the idea there. And we see that fleshed out in the scriptures. Paul tells Timothy and Titus to appoint elders in that particular assembly. Hebrews says to obey your leaders. So the question is then becomes, who are your leaders? What church have you covenanted with and said, those are my elders. Those are the men that I am under. So there's this idea of local assembly. The local representation is further seen in the pastoral epistles, where Paul indeed tells Titus and Timothy to establish elders. So if we know that this is the biblical understanding of the church, what are we to do? We're to do what we've already talked about. We're to worship God both corporately and in the way we live our lives. We are to gather together to worship God. And from what we see, that means several things. We're to sing together. We're to gather together and sing praises to God. We're to gather together to sing. The direction of FBC, as the elders have decided, is that our songs, regardless of the style, would be glorifying to God. They would be glorifying to God. That we're to sing together, we're to gather together, and we're to sing songs that are glorifying to God. And you may say, well, I don't like this or that style of music. Ultimately, preferences don't matter as much as content. We're to seek to follow the admonition of Paul in Colossians 3:16, where he says that there is a variety of ways of singing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we're to sing to one another with that variety. But it is to be done how? What does he say there? With thankfulness in our hearts. You know, I'm not to be worried about how this person over here is worshiping or that person over there is worshiping or what style of music is being used. I need to have my eyes fixed upon the author and finisher of my faith, Jesus Christ, and be singing songs of praises to Him, truths back to Him that are overflowing my heart with thankfulness because of the truths that are being set forth. The direction of FBC that has been set up by the elders in regard to our gathered worship is that we would seek to put on display the giftedness with which God has equipped us. And I don't know, if you've been around any amount of time, you see that giftedness, don't you? I've never been in a church this size that has so many gifted and talented people in musicianship. I've never heard a clarinet solo before in a local assembly. It was wonderful, as we heard last week from Jeff as well on the violin, and just God has just blessed us, hasn't He? We need to not though focus upon those folks. We need to thank the Lord for that, but focus upon Him. It's not about the style; it's a variety of styles that bear out the truthfulness of who God is, and helps our heart resonate with that. But it is far less about preference than it is about glorifying God with the words that we sing. We want to sing songs that magnify, that exalt the name of God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We want to make sure that when we leave this place, our hearts are filled with thankfulness about who God is and what He has done for us, that He has done all those things indeed to glorify Himself. We then need to, therefore, lay aside our preferences. We all have them, and we all want to have our preferences met, but it's not ultimately about us. Let's lay aside our preferences, focusing upon the words which point us to Christ. We also want to worship in all aspects of our service, in our time of giving, in our time of fellowship, in all aspects of our gathered time. Are you seeking to glorify God in all these ways, or do you come to gathered worship and simply work through the motions that you know you need to go through? When you give into the offering plate, is that from a joyful heart, as Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 9? When you fellowship with one another, is it, oh my, I've got to sit down and talk with this person again. They really grate against me, and hey, can I tell you something? You better get used to it. You're going to be with them for all eternity. Well, they're going to be fixed, right? But so are you. We need to seek to exalt God in every way when we gather together. But we also need to seek to exalt God in the way that we live in everyday life outside of these walls. If anything has done damage to the biblical idea of the gathered assembly of believers, it is, in the United States, the American dream. Rugged individualism has given way to a personalized version of a so-called church. I say so-called because this is not the way the Bible describes who we are. We should seek to exalt God at all times and in all ways. So the direction of FBC will always be to produce a God-glorifying environment for worshiping in all aspects of what worship is, including singing, teaching, praying, preaching, giving, and fellowship as we gather together Sundays and Wednesdays. But we also want to be doing that in every aspect of our life, whether that's when we're at home, in the privacy of our bedroom, or whether that is out in the open. And especially as we seek to be involved in one another's lives outside of these walls. So here's one of the applications for us this morning. When we gather together, we need to worship. We need to worship. Sing the songs. Give at the time of giving. Greet the brethren when it is the greeting time and the fellowship times. Exalt God and listen to the preaching and teaching, and ask God through His Spirit to convict you, to comfort you, and direct you through His word. If you're doubting this morning that God loves you, ask God this morning as you hear the preaching and the teaching this morning, God, remind me this morning through that, that you love me, that you've given your son for me. Remind me of that, dear Lord. If you're struggling this morning because you're just suffering in one way or another, physically, whatever, Lord, this morning, fill my cup in this time of gathered worship together. And I pray that the assembly would come alongside of me throughout the week to encourage me. And therefore, when you go outside of the building, remember that you have not stopped being the church. Live in fellowship with each other. Call each other. Reach out to help one another. Get involved in a small group. You know, we should have a perpetual problem of having to spin small group off a small group off a small group because they're just getting too big and they're bursting at the seams. We've had to do that once, but that should be a perpetual problem for us because we're seeking to be gathered together even outside of these walls. Live in obedience to Christ and His Word in all aspects of your life. Again, as far as the direction of FBC, we have set out to create an environment here where this can be accomplished as we gather to worship corporately. And of course, we're constantly encouraging you to be involved in one another's lives. Well, I can see because of a couple of other things we need to do that I am out of time. And so we will extend this sermon into next week, looking at probably number 2 and number 3. We seek to edify those who profess to follow Christ by expositionally preaching His Word and praying for the Spirit to lead and convict us by that preaching. We'll also talk about the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry next week together. Would you join me in prayer? And then we have a couple of other matters we need to attend to. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that you would take this sermon this morning. It is not a typical structured sermon like we normally have. And Lord, I pray that you would use it in the lives of the hearers this morning. For those who, Lord, are not born again, that you would use it this morning to even help them question, am I a member of a church? Not just a physical member, but am I in the body of Christ? Have I been born again? Have I repented of my sins and trusted in Christ's death and resurrection alone to be made right with God, to be reconciled to God, to be at peace with God? Without that question answered first, there is no reason for any of the rest of this. But then, Lord, as the rest of us who are in you this morning need to recognize why we gather as an assembly and why other brothers and sisters in Christ throughout this city and throughout this nation and throughout the world gather, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be reminded of that each time we gather. And then, Lord, as well, I pray that you would give us the grace to be pursuing one another in ministry throughout the week or involved in other ministries throughout the week to encourage and to evangelize. Now, Lord, we pray that you would be with us in the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.